And on this Memorial Day, we are joined by Philip Butler, a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. And he completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. Welcome to Background Briefing, Philip Butler.
Thank you, Ian. It's good to be back on your program. I always appreciate your invitation.
Well, thank you, Phil. And on this Memorial Day, I know you've known John McCain for a long time, and I think you were at Annapolis together, weren't you?
Yes, we were. We were actually in the same company and lived across the passageway from him, with over 3,000 midshipmen at the time. I guess life is stranger than fiction. John lived across the hall from me. He was a first-classman, senior, at the same time that I was a plebe or freshman.
Well, I bring it up because lately a White House aide insulted John McCain and basically dismissed him, saying, why should we care about what he says? He'll be dead soon. And the extraordinary thing is that the White House, instead of firing that aide, they did a witch hunt to find out who the leaker was. And it sort of leads you to this extraordinary situation that we have, where the President of the United States has insulted John McCain. And I believe that John McCain is held in much higher esteem than Trump is across the country. So do you think that's going to affect veterans, the way the president, the commander-in-chief, has been so dismissive and insulting towards a war hero?
I don't know. I don't speak for veterans. I speak for myself, but I think it's pretty disgusting coming from what I and all my friends, including my Republican friends, refer to as the bone spur president. He's disgusting. But that person in his staff that said, why should we care, was being perfectly honest, because that's absolutely true. Why should they care? They don't care. They could care less about John McCain or anybody else who's not a Trumpster. They just don't care about anything. They don't care about our country. They don't care about the Constitution, what little they know of it. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about all Americans, who the majority of whom think on a different line than they do. So, yeah, why should they care? Absolutely. They were, that staffer was should get an award for honesty.
Well, when you refer to Trump as the bone spur president, you're referring to the fact that he got deferments during the Vietnam War for...
Yeah, right. Exactly. There we go.
bone spurs. And he also, on the Howard Stern program, he said his Vietnam was getting venereal disease from all of the playmate bunnies, I guess.
Well, I guess so. Bad choice, bad behavior, failure to use proper precautions or something. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's all disgusting to me, though, because it's so degrading to our presidency and our nation and our rule of law. Everything is just being dismantled as we watch it in our eyes here. The law is being dismantled, and Ian, I wanted to say something as I sit here, maybe just slightly off the subject, but I just wanted to say that regarding books that are out, that listeners, people might be interested in. I started writing my book 10 years ago, and 2 years later, I had it completed. And these books that are coming out now, they just pop them out. I don't know how these guys do it, but I've got a stack of them here next to my chair to read. I'm looking at it. My wife just handed me Ronan Farrow's War on Peace, which is a fabulous book. And James Comey has got A Higher Loyalty, and Clapper's book just came out. And Madeleine Albright's book on fascism. I mean, all of these just really important books, but they come out so fast, and I don't know how these people can these things out so quickly. They must have other writers to help them that I didn't have, or they know more about speed writing than I did. They can anyway. They're coming out faster than I can read one of them, but I'm trying in order to keep up. But I just want everybody to know that there's some just excellent, outstanding, testaments to what is going on in our world in these books that people should get. And even if you have to stack them up next to your chair and read them in their time, keep them in your library, because they're going to prove prescient with what's happening in our country with this president and this Congress.
Well, Phil, I could add to your list there, because we're in our public radio fund drive, and every day I come up with a new book, or at least I try to, that's relevant to our audience and to the political moment we're in. There's an extraordinary book by the Yale historian Timothy Snyder called The Road to Road to Unfreedom. And then there's another book on called Trump Russia by the investigative reporter with the Associated Press, Seth Hettner. Both of those I highly recommend. And
Ian, how do I keep up? Well, I used to be a fast reader. Maybe I'm not so quick anymore.
Know.
But
well, I have the same problem. I have to not only have to keep up. I got to read these books, and then I got to interview the authors and make sense.
No, you're amazing.
So, just again, I'm speaking with Phil Butler, a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy, a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. And he completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. Now, peace is looking pretty distant and receding into the dark gathering storm of war clouds with possibility of going to war against Iran, having pulled out of the peace deal with Iran, or at least the nuclear deal with Iran, and now Trump on Thursday pulled out of the talks with the North Koreans. And then in a photo op on the same day, on last Thursday, Trump went on about how, in his letter, he talked about how we have bigger nuclear weapons than you do, little Kim. And then he went on about the idea that we're the most powerful nation in the world, and we're spending $700 billion on our military. And next year, we're going to spend $716 billion, as though money equaled power and strength. Now, I suppose, coming from the world of wannabe billionaires, that's the way he sees the world.
Yeah, I don't know how he expects to fight everybody in the world. You haven't mentioned the two, probably, in my opinion, right now, the most important antagonists. Well, one little area of contention is the area between the Iranians in Syria and the Hezbollah and the Israelis. You know, he was so hot to jump in the middle of that and get our embassy in Jerusalem, which was really a dumb thing to do, to just up the heat in that area. But the two things, it's like he said, these things are like somebody rattling keys to distract your attention. But then there's the Russians are playing in the North Atlantic, doing really dangerous stuff with their overflights and their aircraft, and testing us to see if we will support NATO and the Balkan countries in that area. And the Chinese are trying to take over the Pacific Ocean by building islands and runways, and now they're bringing missiles into those man-made islands in the Pacific Ocean because they want to block off the Pacific, which would be disastrous for all of our allies in that area. So those are big time things that are going on, and Trump isn't paying attention to any of that stuff. But I can't for the life of me figure out why he changes his ideas are so different between North Korea and Iran. With North Korea, he wants to use diplomacy and wants to talk with Un and Kim Jong Un, and yet with Iran, he wants to tear up the diplomatic treaty that we had with him. It's just it's bizarre. It's like there's no strategy, there's no thought, there's no overall plan for anything he does. He just thrashes out all over the place and creates dissension all over the world. Even with our own allies, he creates dissension.
Right, but you've just described the Russians' military buildup and their intimidation of the Baltic states to test U.S. resolve about Article 5 of the NATO treaty, and we know that Trump himself was always reluctant to invoke and support Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which upset the NATO allies. So, and then you got the Chinese, as you say, building these man-made islands. They actually landed some bombers on them recently. That would indicate to me that Putin and Xi Jinping are not afraid of our big, blustering, cowboy, tough guy, John Wayne, gunslinging president in the White House.
Yeah, I think he is making us weaker. He blusters about all the strength and power and all these missiles that he has and everything, but everybody recognizes him as weak, as a charlatan, as a liar, and as one that doesn't hold up to his word. He says he's going to do something, and then he backs off. He says he's going to have a big renegotiation of treaties with China, and then in the next instance the Chinese stand up to it, but then he backs off and says, "Well, never mind. We're going to hold on. We're going to hold on this." So he makes himself and us look to be weak, and of course we are weak when we don't have allies that can support us around the world, and we don't have good diplomacy. He's absolutely dismantled our diplomatic corps. It's just a shell of what it was before he came into office.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, you mentioned that your Republican friends refer to Donald Trump as the bone spur president. Do you think that the military community in this country could rise up against him? I mean, he's in league with Putin. Putin put him in there. That's what James Clapper, one of the books you mentioned, he came to that conclusion that Trump was actually put over the top and he won the election because of Putin. That's an extraordinary thing to get your head around in the first place. But the idea that we're trapped between a criminal kleptocrat in the Kremlin and a criminal kleptocrat in the Oval Office, and Trump is at war with the law and he's at war with truth, and we are in a very dangerous moment, and I don't see who's going to save us. I don't know that the Democrats are going to save us. The Republicans are completely disgusting. They're going along with the destruction of this country. What's left? The deep state?
I don't know how bad this has to get. I don't know how low we have to sink. Every day I think we're at the bottom of this thing. I have to have faith that our constitutional system will eventually override and come out of this as yet another test in our republic. But boy, it's really looking frightening. This guy just has the ability, it seems, to dismantle all the institutions that go to make up our republic and our way of life and our constitution. The Republicans do seem to be hopeless, and yet I play golf on occasion with a number of these guys who were Republicans, who incidentally did not ever vote for Trump, but they're kind of the old style Republicans. They're guys that are my age. I'm going to be 80 this year, and these guys are guys in their 70s and 80s. So, you know, their thinking is like 40s and 50s, I guess, and 60s Republicans, more conservative. But issues that, you know, we can discuss and talk about after we play golf and sit at lunch and have a beer, and we can talk about all this stuff. But it's certainly not the Trump toadies and gutless idiots that call themselves Republicans in the House of Representatives, for example. It's just disgusting. I can only hope, good heavens, I can only hope that at least the Democrats will have a majority after the 2018 election. So, though, like you say, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Democrats either, but at least I have a whole lot more faith with Democrats than I do the Republicans that are currently in office in Congress.
Well, Phil Butler, I thank you very much for joining us today on this Memorial Day.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Phil. And again, Phil Butler is a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. And he completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. And today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace.